Just as the last girl. Just as the last girl.
She's the final girl.
Final girl.
If only I had my flame whip.
Yeah, because that's what we need right now in this field of dry corn.
A flame whip makes every situation better. Prove me wrong.
Maybe not in a dry field. Maybe just, you know, not in a dry field. That's all.
I'm like, we won't win, but they would still lose.
And isn't that what's more important? At least we'd go out in a pretty badass way.
No, thank you.
Maybe. Let me sleep on it.
Burning to death does not sound like fun to me. Sorry. Nope.
No, me neither. But if you gotta go. Spectacle, baby. Spectacle.
Welcome to Reddington. All Reddington citizens, we are aware of the sold-out allergy medicine situation. We will let you know when there is some in stock. Hello, Norman. We are almost done with you reliving this event. You've done an excellent job of explaining the situation so far. Now, where we last left off, the other three had just found you in the maze.
Oh, hey, you guys. Hey, how the hell are ya?
But sorry, before I say, what are the scarecrows doing right now? I feel burning? Like I'd want that established real quick.
Oh, did we not burn them to the fucking ground?
Or are they dead already?
Overall, there were 6 scarecrows. The ones that were attacking Norman on the ground have run away. The group can see a trail of fire as hay does burn. If the group doesn't put them out, they're going to end up burning down the town.
Oh, boy. Oh, they just took off and went running on fire through the maze?
Yes.
Joy.
Okay, bye, pussies.
All right.
This does mean that the maze is on fire.
Oh, no, we needed that maze.
That's not alarming.
Did we?
That was for the festival. Gosh. Sugar cookies. Who? What are you guys doing here?
We came looking for you.
Came looking for me?
Well, you've been gone for a while. I mean...
Yeah, at least, couple hours, maybe? Three hours?
36.
36 hours? Wow, I tell you, time sure does passing by when you're having knocked out in a burlap sack. Well, that's great. You guys probably have the festival all planned, right? I mean, 36 hours is a lot of time.
Well, we were all definitely very busy looking for you. That's what we were doing. Hearing that, Kathy's... I assume Norman is no longer on fire. So.
But the maze is. The group is not out safely yet.
Well, Jesus, Wendy, I'm not a firefighter. I don't know what you wanted me to do about that.
Norman, should we possibly invest in volunteer firefighting department?
You know, given how this night plays out, that might not be a bad idea.
How bad is this fire? Are we talking, like... massive amounts of flame, or are we?
I mean, like, we're having this casual conversation, so it can't be that bad.
Well, it could be. We could just be stupid, but you know.
The fire sure is waiting very patiently for us.
Right.
It knows when there's a good narrative. It waits its turn. It's a self-aware fire. It's cursed with knowledge of the narrative.
While the group is taking a breather, they survey the patches of fire around the maze. While nothing is immediately dangerous, please don't burn Reddington to the ground.
Yeah, let's not destroy the setting until the big finale.
At least until the season finale, right?
The group is seeing a good bit of smoke at the very least.
Smell it for sure.
So did we drive? Yeah, the car is with us, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Cool. Kathy's going to hop in the driver's seat and say, get in, losers.
Hang on a
second.
Yeah,
we're going to die.
Kathy just turned around and booked it for the car?
Yep.
Oh, okay.
Norman's not on fire anymore. Her job is done.
And I roll up my my new flannel sleeves that I've been forced into. That's canon, but it's very striking. And I
you will
duck
never
my
be
head. I could be. And I stick my head in the driver's side window. Shut up about the bear. Shut up about the bear. I say, Kathy, can you pop the trunk real quick, the hatchback?
Which button? Where's the button for this? I've never driven this car before.
It's down and to the left, sort of a reverse JFK.
Kathy accidentally pops the hood open.
Yeah, it looks just like that one. It's just the other one.
All right, Kathy, I'll pop the trunk open.
Carrying a fire extinguisher in a minivan is not common. Why does Norman have one?
Well, safety first. Well, I always carry matches in case I get stranded in the woods, and I always carry a fire extinguisher in case something goes wrong with the matches.
That, dear listeners, is why Norman is our town selectman. With his fire extinguisher, he is able to put out the maze. So, Kathy has left the maze?
Realistically, if there's no fire, she's just on her phone waiting for y'all to come in the car. Assuming everyone's still in sight of the car, she's just kind of assuming they're taking their time getting back.
There are still 6 scarecrows in the maze.
CB Tash taps some ash from their cigarette and does nothing.
Are the scarecrows, so the maze is out, are the scarecrows still on fire?
The 6 scarecrows on poles are not on fire.
Like, are the scarecrows moving or are they just hanging there?
I was gonna say, have we seen these things move? The 6 that are on the poles?
I have not.
Okay, so right now there are no actual moving scarecrows in sight.
Correct.
Do the scarecrows that are on the poles, what's their sort of face situation?
The scarecrow are wearing burlap masks.
Is, like, the sack entirely their head?
Painted faces, burlap sack.
What's their hand situation? Unless they're wearing gloves. Because how did they...
Probably gardening
gloves. Okay.
To confirm, the group is looking at the scarecrows to see what is going on?
Right, yes.
Yeah.
I think Norman's big concern here is, hey, they're about to tie me to a pole, and I'm a Reddington citizen. So, where'd these other scarecrows come from? I want to see if they could potentially be concealing a body in there.
How is the group investigating the scarecrows?
Go walk up to it.
CB is going to stub out their cigarette on the face of one of the scarecrows.
Somebody's in there, maybe.
Well, we're gonna find out if somebody's in there now.
I mean, but, like, they're not our friends, so...
Where on their face?
Oh, God.
The place that someone of a normal average height would choose to reach and stub one out. So, like, where the nose would be.
Norman, you understand that letting CB do this is just as bad as letting them bite someone, right?
First of all, I didn't let them do anything. Despite all the evidence to the contrary, I am not my vampire's keeper. Besides, a little second-degree burn builds character. Why do you think the scouts are always making s'mores?
The scarecrows start squirming.
Oh my god!
And the group can hear muffled screams.
Oh my god, oh my god, somebody's in there, somebody's in there.
Yeah.
Well, so we ought to get them out then.
Yeah, let's get them out, let's do that. And I whip out my multi-tool and I start sawing through the ropes.
Kathy jumps out of the car. What the fuck just happened?
There's...
Oh, so no thank you for figuring out the mystery. Great, I feel so appreciated.
Thank you, CB. Now, can we just get, like, we need to pull these people down off the poles and get this stuff off of them.
Why are we murdering scarecrows?
Because there's people inside them, Kathy.
There's people in them. They're scarecrows with a people center.
Gross.
Jess will go to a different one than the one Norman's working on and try to physically pull the scarecrow person off the pole and get him out of burlap and straw and stuff.
CB also starts pulling off the scarecrows, but in like a very like you can tell that they're not like really putting all of their strength into it.
Well, especially because you have super strength.
Are all the scarecrows making noises at this point, or
the scarecrows are all squirming around? There are muffled noises now that they realize you're trying to help.
Help is a strong
help
word.
Help is a strong word, yeah.
I guess what I'm trying to say is, do they sound friendly or, like, desperate that they want our help and not evil?
They sound as if they're trying to speak and can't.
Do they smell like people? If they do, have they smelled like people the entire time?
Through the dirt and grime that's on them, Jessa June can smell people. It's faint, as if they've been up on the poles for... a while.
Oh my god. I
mean, it has been fall for a couple of weeks now.
Oh my god.
Jesus.
These scarecrows didn't just show up in town.
Directed by Guillermo del Toro.
Dear listeners, their numbers have grown over time.
Assuming Kathy doesn't know that last part, because she wouldn't pay attention regardless, she will go ahead and also take a body down.
As the rest of the group is pulling down these very clearly humans in scarecrow outfits, Kathy comes back from the car to help. But unfortunately, as she is pulling a scarecrow down, hay and straw slowly wraps around her and starts to pull her off the ground.
Fuck! That was both in and out of character.
Wait, a bunch of hay from where?
It turns out to be the arms of a scarecrow behind her.
I just imagine Kathy was reluctant to help in the first place, and as soon as this shit comes out, it's just like, God damn it, before panic even sets in.
She's like, I fucking knew it.
You're right. I get pulled away, called it!
The hay covers her mouth, keeping her from alerting the others to what was happening.
Do I just disappear into the field?
Yes.
Yeah!
Kathy is pulled into the field away from the maze.
You got yoinked.
And 36 hours later.
Let's go!
Oh, good lord.
No one has noticed that Kathy is gone.
It's hilarious that it would be Kathy. I love this.
The other three succeed at getting the humans off the poles and down on the ground. They've clearly been suspended in this maze for a while, and walking is going to be a struggle. They more than likely need to sit, get some food and water, and without a doubt, some medical attention.
Oh my god. Oh my god. Let's get you all some orange slices and Pedialyte.
Thankfully, it looks like they just have gags over their mouth.
Will the gags come off? I mean, we can pull them off of these people, right?
The gags are disgusting, and it takes a little bit of wiggling before they come off.
Ew, yucky, disgusting.
Take some skin with them.
Yum.
Yeah. And we recognize these people. These are our countrymen, our country folks.
Forgotten country.
I think Reddington is a whole new country now.
As you know, the town council reviews all of these files. While listening to the tapes, one of the town council members responded to this by, "Not yet, but give us time."
I heard that. Reddington is a country. An empire? Now that certainly is a troubling thought. These are other Reddington citizens. I should have noticed they were gone.
You're not the Eye of Sauron. Calm down.
Wait, is that a voice from the field?
I should
what?
Be.
Just kidding.
Okay, there's not time to make three trips out here. Kathy, you take the van. You drive these... Kathy? Where's Kathy?
CB says, I'm not the CEO of watching children. That's your job.
Unbelievable. I go missing for 36 hours.
If Jessica can see her, Jessica will, yes, take a couple of deep breaths and see if she can smell her.
What does Kathy smell like?
That's what I want to know.
The latest perfume that you'd find at Kohl's that was, like, sponsored by one of the singers that has the one name, so, like, Wonder or Wish or Kiss, if we're going real simple.
Is she still working through the, Taylor Swift Incredible Things collection?
Yes. I hate that I know exactly what you're talking about.
You know exactly what I mean.
That's perfect.
Added to Kathy's perfume is some unicorn smells and a bit of smoke.
She's a teenager, so she's definitely a little bit sweaty.
Yeah.
Minus the sweat. That's not a terrible scent so far.
I mean, it's not as good as Norman, but...
Yeah. I'd buy that in a candle and just call it Claire's the Shop. Sorry, Claire's the Shop that set on fire.
Claire's the Shop after it's been burned down. Now, does she get a direction from this? Like, she knows where, or she just knows that she's here somewhere?
Jessa June gets a metaphorical big neon sign of where Kathy has gone.
Right. Okay. So Jessa will take a couple of deep breaths, go, I got her, and head into the field in the direction that Kathy went. I mean, like, charging in to go find the missing teenager.
Does anybody of the folks who have been brought down, does anybody look well enough that they could take Blanche and take the other citizens back to Reddington proper?
Oh, no.
Okay. Does anybody look lucid enough to follow instructions?
There's at least one who looks like they can focus.
Okay. I'm going to take, first of all, I'm going to take one of my putters out of the trunk of Blanche, and I'm going to write a quick note in my phone to replace my fire extinguisher, and then I'm going to turn to one of the folks, who I'm sure I know, because... I know, I'll probably know all of them.
Because Norman knows everyone.
Norman knows everybody by name. Let's say, hey, Stephanie. Terrible stuff. So sorry about that. We will process it later. There's some, if you'll excuse my French, some scary shit out of here. And, you know, we're sort of in a rural area, so that kind of makes it Parks and Rec's wheelhouse, I suppose. Here are the keys to my car. Would you just sort of scoop everybody who's been hanging out here for a while into the car and lock the doors behind you, because I don't know where that scary shit is. And me and my good, and Norman remembers the talk that they had like a day ago, and is like, associates, almost calls them friends, calls them associates instead, are gonna go sort that out right quick.
Did Kathy give Norman the keys back?
Shit.
Oh no.
Oh
No.
Okay. Car's unlocked. Hop in there. Lock the doors behind you. It might set off the burglar alarm. Probably not. And hopefully I will get those keys back along with Kathy, who is more important than the keys, obviously. But I'd love to get both. That would be ideal.
Does Norman still have those Clif Bars in his car?
Yeah, of course.
Stephanie nods, and she starts trying to stand up and collect other people.
Okay. Mama Mia, here we go again. Let's go get her. And I follow Jessa.
Is CB going to follow, or...
CB sighs and follows them. This might as well happen.
Such love in this group.
I know, right?
Jessa June catches up fairly easily to a couple of scarecrows dragging Kathy, who, at this point, has been gagged by her arm.
I imagine, like, she's not even fighting. She just has a look that she's just not even scared or panicked. She's just not amused.
She's like, oh, fucking course this would happen today.
Like, yeah, like.
She's just letting them drag her across the field.
And homecoming's next week.
And the pageant's tomorrow.
Her legs have been tied up.
It's like, I know who this was engineered by.
Psst, CB. What?
Yeah, you should say something really cool when we get there. Like, make it like a funny joke about straw or something. So we can, like, enter like real heroes. That would be really cool.
No.
Okay, I'll think of one, but let me know if you think of a good one.
Hey, hey, hey! Revelations and Redemption is a new Monster of the Week podcast by Hot Dice.
Bro Dingles is playing Jimmy Watson. They are using the Flake playbook.
She's decided that she has clearance from a holy figure, so she can just do what she wants.
Isaiah Rothstein is playing Abram Rocks. He's using the professional playbook.
There is so much cocaine at this party, Reginald. I'm supposed to be...
Brendan James is playing Jules Vega. He's using the monstrous playbook.
You idiot, stupid, sick of all these being surrounded...
Mae Griffin is playing Harlene Parker. She's using the pyromantic playbook.
Look at that painting. Look at this, babe. Look at my cell phone, babe.
Jinwoo Moon is playing Ernest Silverman Gold. He's using the mundane playbook.
Black dress.
Let's roll.
And is her hair up or down?
It's down. Whoa.
And finally, I'm Wander Bushes, the keeper of our game.
That's what I do. I'm fucking Bigfoot.
Episode 1 airs March 1st.
So do you want one more?
Yeah.
Do you want one more where I just go as hard as possible?
Fuck you. Always.
Yes, always.
Wherever you want.
Always.
Yeah, wherever the hell you want.
Hey, hey, hey! Revelations and Redemption's new Monster of the Week podcast by Hot Dice. Da-da-da-now! Bro Dingles is playing Jimmy Watson. They are using the Flake playbook. Whoa, what's that? Isaiah Ross is playing Abel Rocks. He's using the professional playbook. Can I be of service?
Jessa, in the meantime, having caught up with the scarecrows and Kathy doing nothing but laying there, apparently, Jessa will at first go, all right, stop. You can't just take her away. You gotta stop. And she will go attempt to grab one of the scarecrows by the big shoulder-shaped thing, like, to try to stop it.
I catch up with my putter over my shoulder, and I say, hey, we'll show you who's outstanding in their field.
Oh, no. Oh.
And that helps.
That hurt.
The dice don't lie. That helps.
That hurt.
The scarecrows stop.
And groan.
And both kind of look at Norman, which is how Jessa June is able to step in and get them to stop.
I'm helping.
Bad puns. They're one weakness.
The one closest does try to push him over for that.
Me or Jessa June?
Norman.
Oh, damn.
Oh, you wish it was me.
I'm swinging wildly with the putter.
I was going to say, with that, can I, they're distracted, try to at least get one arm out, possibly?
Kathy is able to get free. In the scramble of pushing Norman over, the other scarecrow has let her go, and she can wiggle around. But, dear listeners, Kathy's legs are still tied together.
I want to kick someone so bad. If I could at least get one hand free, Kathy would reach into her pocket to get Norman's car keys, and then just go ahead and try to stab the other one's hand.
The Scarecrow, not offended by Norman's puns, notices Kathy doing this and tries to get her keys away from her.
I want to use the other arm and just try to elbow them away.
As Kathy is elbowing them away, they try to grab her arm again. But, thankfully, she has this jean jacket. This beautiful jean jacket that protects Kathy.
No, the jean jacket has come into play. Oh my god.
The denim shield.
I'm so
You ever
happy.
Try to bite through denim? It's the ideal armor for the zombie apocalypse. You can't.
Unless you have zombie teeth, in which case, yeah.
Zombie teeth come from regular person teeth. You don't get new teeth.
That's fair, I suppose. I don't know.
What the group and listeners don't know about this jacket is that it's more than just a regular jean jacket that would survive a zombie apocalypse. This stylish jacket is actually a vintage jacket from Kathy's mom. If only jean jackets could talk, this would warn Kathy of so much to come. Kathy's free except her legs, and Norman is on the ground. Jessa June towers above the two scarecrows whose attention is all on Kathy and Norman.
So they're in between Jessa and Kathy right now.
Am I close enough to try and pull a razor scooter and fucking smack the legs out from under one of these guys?
Where are you pulling a razor? Never mind. Don't answer
no,
that
No,
question.
Like smacking their legs with my golf club.
Oh, okay. Razor scooter. It's like... I thought
I can't believe that you've never experienced severe damage at the hands of a razor scooter.
Norman swings his golf club, causing one of the scarecrows, the one that pushed him over, to fall over. As it goes to attack Norman...
If the scarecrows are close enough, now that her arms are free, if she could prop herself up and try to swing her way around so that her legs sweep under the at least one of the scarecrows to knock them down herself.
Kathy then swings her leg across both of the scarecrows, knocking one over again.
Bad bitch hours. Bad bitch hours.
Kathy kicks a second time, kicking the other scarecrow a good distance away. What has CB been doing?
CB is going to try and go for the head, because they have been given information that that's pretty useful. So they are going to try and give one of those heads a big kick, because, I mean, like, if you knock them out, they can't drag Kathy anywhere.
As CB kicks the scarecrow, they catch it in the face. However, it does not do any damage. It grabs CB's leg and pulls them down on the ground.
Oh my gosh.
Who would have thought scarecrows were going to be the toughest enemy that we faced
Just
yet?
A bunch of gay people lying on the ground.
We were in a lab that was going up in flame, and yet...
Everybody is on the ground. The scarecrows are on the ground, and Jessa is the only one standing.
Yes, Jessa.
This is what happens when you ask theater people to go outside.
Jessa's the last girl. Jessa's the last girl.
She's the final girl.
Final girl.
If only I had my flame whip.
Yeah, because that's what we need right now in this field of dry corn.
A flame whip makes every situation better. Prove me wrong.
Maybe not in a dry field. Maybe just, you know, not in a dry field. That's all.
I'm like, we won't win, but they would still lose.
And isn't that what's more important? At least we'd go out in a pretty badass way.
No, thank you.
Maybe. Let me sleep on it.
Burning to death does not sound like fun to me. Sorry. Nope.
No, me neither. But if you gotta go. Spectacle, baby. Spectacle.
Flame whip.
I would rather drown, thank you.
Well, how are you gonna drown in a field?
That's what I'm saying. How about we don't die?
Grain silo. Come on, man.
Silos don't explode. Sorry.
It's like you don't even live in the Midwest.
Okay, I live in, like, woodsy Midwest, not fieldsy Midwest. I'm too far north.
Chicago is not woodsy.
No, but I'm from Michigan.
Is Michigan woodsy?
Michigan is woodsy.
Wild.
Michigan has fields. Come on.
Michigan has, like, soybean fields.
Michigan has a cherry festival.
Yeah, that's not a field. That's an orchard.
Oh, my God.
It's picturesque.
This feels like a genuine conversation CB and Norman would have.
Thankfully, the scarecrows are dazed and... out of commission for a moment during this argument.
I don't know how it started, but I could see them continuing it.
They're like, what the fuck are they talking about?
We have a blueberry festival, too.
Okay, well, cherry has novelty. Blueberries you can do anywhere. Cherry is, like, it's fun. It's fresh.
Well, the blueberries are fresh, too. We grow them here.
Well, yeah, but I mean, like, in terms of, like, cultural impact.
Is this actually I just have to ask, is this conversation...
No, this is
actually
this is
happening?
No, I'm not doing
okay.
a voice.
Just making sure, because...
I'm not raising my eyebrows. It's not Norman.
Just trying to decide how much of Jess's head has blown off at this point, so...
Thank God Chet's fucking down here. What's up? So you can tell the difference.
So Jessa is the only one standing.
Jessa's the only one standing, and Jessa is not entirely sure of what exactly just happened, given the fact that everybody's suddenly now on the ground. Jessa's just gonna kind of look at everybody on the ground and go, y'all okay? I mean, does anybody need a hand up? Not you, to the scarecrows.
CB's like, please.
Jessa will offer her hand up.
CB takes it because Jessa's the one bitch in this house they respect.
Norman wants to, you know, Norman's not a violent person by default, but has really had some of their bodily autonomy violated in the last 36 hours. And I think what he wants to do is, like, launch himself onto one of these scarecrows and rip off the burlap sack head to see what's under there.
How good are you at karate?
How good am I at karate? Cheated my way through a second degree ring belt. Oh, okay.
How do you cheat? Never mind, don't.
You take the test with everybody else, you just do what they're doing. I didn't study. Norman has gone into a rage. Norman fucking uses the putter to launch himself out because, you know, he's
not, oh my god.
He's not got the best knees in the world, so he needs a little help giving out. He fucking throws himself on top of one of these prone scarecrows and, like, grabs the burlap sack by its corners. I'm assuming that they have sort of that triangular thing going on. And yanks it with all of his middle-aged strength.
Norman beats the scarecrow until it lays still.
CB will remember this.
I just want to say, Kathy, this whole time, I'd like to imagine, even when she's being a badass, is still just, like, unamused. Just, like, shit, it's Tuesday, another Tuesday. Seeing Norman absolutely lose his shit and fling himself onto a scarecrow? Kathy's gonna raise some eyebrows. That shit's wild.
What does Norman do when it lays still?
Does the head just fully come off?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay, there's not something in there.
No, there is just... Hey.
And there's still one more scarecrow?
Yes.
Okay, no time for a Bebo then. I'm gonna... sort of volleyball spike the head as far as I can into the field.
CB will really remember this.
I'm on the department team, the Parks and Rec department team, for summer.
As he does this, the headless scarecrow pops up and takes off after its head.
Oh my god.
Still?
Yes. It was apparently just faking.
And there's nothing in there? It's just hay in there?
It's just hay in there.
Or just straw, rather.
Yeah, why would you waste perfectly good hay?
Perfectly good hay. I caught myself. Let's not fight. Not in front of the kids. Come on.
Kathy's going to go ahead, since she's still holding the keys, she's going to take them and start trying to cut at the binds across her legs. But she's making, like, a real big show of it without saying a word as in a way of saying, like, hey, I'm still tied here. Some help would be great. Yeah, thanks. Like, no rush, but, like, it would be awesome.
Jessa is going to reach for the other scarecrow and... seeing that it doesn't matter if you take his head off, she's going to try to pull it apart.
While Kathy is not obviously asking for help, is Jessa doing this in human form?
Yeah.
Okay. Jessa June tears this apart.
You're in your Mortal Kombat era?
She's going, I don't think we should let these things run, as she's tearing this thing apart.
I'm not swooning. You're swooning.
Yes. As she tears at the scarecrow, it falls to the ground, all of the straw and clothing.
This is making me really, really aware of how much I have not put anything into CB's, like, physical supernatural stuff. It's literally all just slut activities.
Now is the time to ponder. How did CB become a vampire? What powers does CB have?
Probably also slut activity.
Agreed, if being honest.
Said lovingly. Norman is caught for a second between wanting Kathy to learn how to ask for the things she needs rather than being passive-aggressive and actually wanting to help her.
Norman is also in a good bit of pain at this point.
Physically and emotionally, really.
And Kathy is also still gagged, so even if she could say anything in this moment, she physically cannot.
Oh, Kathy hasn't even taken the gag out?
No.
She's busy untying her legs.
I will never understand teenage drama.
Your hands are free. That says more about you.
I actually, as I was saying that, I did forget that her hands were free and she could have taken the gift. But you know what? I like it. Kathy's just being spiteful.
If it makes you feel any better, there's nothing to Jessa except her physical stuff. So, you know, fair's fair.
Wow. You guys really complete each other.
The yin it's okay. And
we
yang.
We need more strong female characters who can't do long division.
That would be
it's
Jessa.
True. Girls' rights? Enough. What about girls' wrongs?
It's a win for feminism, I think.
I think so. And a win for feminism is a win for everybody. Okay, I will toss the multi-tool to Kathy.
Yes, Jessa has shredded this entire scarecrow.
Fantastic. Jessa looks very satisfied with herself, stands up straight and dusts her hands off and goes, there, taken care of.
I'll assume at this point Kathy's cut off the binds and she takes the gag off and she stands up. She's like, yeah, good job, team. I feel like we've got a win today. We all did great.
Well, what if that one goes back together?
It better not go back together. I'll tear it apart again.
No, I know, but we need you doing other things, like the fall festival, so you can't just be tearing scarecrows apart the whole time. Like, should we, I don't know, salt it?
We could use it as a beanbag chair.
You want to sit on it?
We could use it as an interactive beanbag chair.
I'd be willing to take the straw out and twine it together to make my crown for the homecoming parade.
Okay, wait, hang on a sec. Hang on one second. One of y'all wants to sit on a moving bag of straw, and the other one wants to put it on your head like a trophy. You don't think that's a bad idea on both parts? I mean, why don't we just take it somewhere where it's not going to make a big old mess and burn it?
Quite frankly, Jeanette, we kick some ass tonight. I think we can take a trophy.
My Jessa name is June. Jessa you did a June. Good
job. You're making a good point. Hey, I think we did a really good job today at work as working as a cohesive unit. I just want to point that out.
Well, I mean, like, do we know that salting and burning it would even work?
I feel like that's a big pop culture thing from many forms of media.
Okay, but where did that even, like, get started?
You know, ghost hunters use salt.
Do you use it for ghosts or use it for demons?
Demon is just a ghost with extra bones. I would say that a ghost is the boneless wing of the demon world.
So Kathy has entwined herself and taken off the gag.
That hey tiara is turning into a crown if this happens again. I'm ready.
As Kathy is laying on the ground, all of the shredded straw starts to slowly move and begin to hold her down to the ground until she is starting to turn into a scarecrow herself.
Can we see this happening?
Oh, yes, yes.
Kathy and Gina both say, probably under her breath, I don't know if anyone hears it, but we both just go, I fucking accepted my fate at this point.
Me when I took the PSATs.
Lucky for you, there are people around who have good hearing.
Oh, no, you don't. Somebody's got to be captain of the equestrian team.
If we're seeing this happen, Jess is going to step over whoever's in between, whether that's the remains of the other scarecrow or whatever. We'll step over it to Kathy and reach down, and if she is not impeded, meaning if this straw's not holding her down, Jessa's going to pull her up off the ground, put her on her feet.
As Jessa is pulling Kathy up off the ground, the straw starts covering them both. At this point, they are trapped on the ground as the straw has covered their feet.
So this is the straw that came out of the scarecrow that we fucked up, or this is more straw?
This is the straw that came out of the scarecrow that Norman beat up.
We're gonna have to fucking burn this field to the ground. Can't believe I wasted an entire fucking good fire extinguisher on this goddamn field, and now we're just gonna have to light it on fire again.
You were able to contain the fire to just the maze, but now you are in a field.
That's someone's livelihood.
Okay, oh, this is not the maze. This is a different field.
Is there no way to, like, pry my feet up? Like, can I try to tear my feet out of this stuff? Or is it indestructible?
Just take your shoes off.
There are two types of players.
That would require thought, see? And we already established that's not Jess's thing.
At this point, the straw that was completely ripped to shreds is combining and attempting to turn Jessa, June, and Kathy into scarecrows.
See, really, it's Jess's fault, because she tore it up, so, see, it's fair.
No, baby, no.
As CB and Norman watch, the new scarecrow Kathy and Jessa June both begin to turn and lift their legs.
In terms of just, like, turning them into the scarecrow, is this, like, some empty child shit going on?
Not quite, no.
Is this more of like a straw suit or like exoskeleton? Like it's not changing their composition so much as it's around them?
It has gone around Jessa, June, and Kathy and knocked them both out.
Oh.
Right, but like their bodily forms are still under this semi-sentient straw.
They're both still under the straw.
Okay. They're not, like, turning through and through.
So, like, if we're passing out, is it because, like, because we're being covered, like, we can't breathe? Or, like, what's the situation here?
Both of them can still breathe. The straw is trying to subdue them so that they can take Jessa and Kathy away.
It's a mind control, body control, something like that kind of thing. Okay.
Can I try to knock one of them out so I can drag them back to the car?
We're already unconscious, Norman.
Okay, well, then we have to decide which one of us could, like, take on the werewolf and which could take on the hard case.
If you try to knock me out, I might have a move for that, actually, so go for it.
Okay, then I'll cover Kathy, because Norman's not doing so hot.
He's all right. He's still stable on a technicality.
Okay, we're not going to go off of a technicality here. I'm going to try and knock Kathy out.
Jesus Christ. Wait, so why are we doing this again? What's the plan?
We're gonna drag you back to the car.
To keep you from walking away.
Gonna drag you back to the car. Gonna drive back to the offices.
Yeah, we don't want to split up the party.
We don't want to split up the party.
No. So here's my question. Is the pressure point at, like, yes, somebody's shoulder and
I was
neck
just about to ask can, about like, that.
Get them there. Is that like a real thing or is that like an urban legend?
No, it is a real thing, and I'll tell you how I know, because I remember being 6 years old and my sister saying, "Mom, come here, I can make Theo fall asleep," and me saying, "Yeah, Mom, come here, she can make me fall asleep."
Okay. But I feel like because CB has intimate knowledge of neck areas, they would just try and go for Kathy's neck with their hand.
You're gonna do a fucking Vulcan death grip.
I'd like to imagine, as CB's kind of walking up, I'd like to imagine that Kathy can hopefully see a little bit past the straw and probably see CB eyeing the neck. Kathy's gonna try, probably unsuccessfully, but her goal is to, like, move her arm and point most likely to the exact spot that CB is looking to smack.
How does Kathy know that CB isn't going to try and drain her?
You're going to point your neck out to CB? Established vampire hottie.
Like, please insert Capri Sun straw here.
I'm staying true to Kathy, and in this situation, I think she would point to that spot where you can knock her out.
All right, then that's what I'm going to go for.
Fortunately, given that CB is still relatively a new vampire, and it has been a few days since they fed, studying Kathy's neck has reminded them that they are, in fact, incredibly hungry.
Oh, no.
Oh my god!
Oh, no. No! Oh, my god.
Let's go!
Come get his neck!
Honestly, like, it sucks, but truthfully, I could not be happier at all the misfortune Kathy is having right now. It is hysterical.
This is like Alexander and the terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day.
Right?
I don't think CB's gonna...
Kathy's making a fucking robe out of this straw by the time we're done with this.
That's very Midsummer.
I was about to say,
I don't think CB's gonna be allowed to work at the school anymore.
Kathy's just gonna become queen of the scarecrows out of spite at this point.
The scarecrow people.
Dear listeners, if you have not experienced a vampire bite before, they can be vicious creatures. Even a bite that's not intended to kill can cause some serious harm. Thankfully, between Kathy's jean jacket and the fire in her belly, she is able to withstand the bite with only minimal damage.
Yay!
No, hey, no, no. Drop it. Drop her.
Drop it. Drop it.
Don't shake. Don't
Imagine
shake.
If that actually worked.
It stings a little bit. It's not fun, but Kathy's going to look at CB and go, "Didn't know you would drop your standards this low."
Steven's in space right now.
Kathy stabs it where it hurts.
Where does it hurt? I'm gonna go scruff them.
Norman, you're going to get in the middle of a vampire and their meal?
That seems like a good idea.
No, I want to see that because, see, no. Listen. CB just learned some things about themselves while watching Norman go after that scarecrow. It might work.
I want to go up behind CB so I can grab him by the collar like a mama cat and go drop it.
You're going to scruff the vampire.
I'm going to scruff the vampire. I'm going to scruff the twink.
It's Always Sunny in Reddington.
Oh my goodness.
Say, hey, no.
Oh my god.
Jessa June has now walked off across the field and fucked off into nowhere, and y'all will never see her again.
Oh. But like, as Jessa's walking away, does she hear Norman going, drop it, drop it, drop it, in the
background? Does Jessa think that this is...
I know, don't tap into the dog part of Jessa. She'll like roll over and show you her belly in a second.
Is Norman the alpha?
No, he wears khakis.
Yeah, so does Cesar Romero.
CB's having a little snacky snack.
No.
Just like goldfish.
No. It smiles back.
It's the snack that smiles back.
Norman scruffs the back of CB's neck.
CB's neck.
Right. Vicious vampire, currently in bloodlust mode. Mm-hmm. Norman chooses to do this.
Do vampires do the cat thing and just go limp and curl up? I mean,
Norman has a couple itches on CB, and CB's not like a very heavy person, so I guess if he could,
no,
he could like, he could pick them up a little bit off the ground, like with a little bit of the shirt too, and be like, no.
With CB's teeth still in Kathy's neck?
Yeah, well, they'll let go, I bet.
Oh my god.
Norman's lifting CB off of Kathy, kind of.
CB's eyes are like straight up and down black, and they're kind of like hissing a little bit.
CB is a cat, confirmed.
I give you a little shake, but not like a violent one, like a stern.
Don't do that. Don't do that.
Don't shake. Don't.
A little one.
Some drops of blood fall off of their fangs and get on Norman.
Ouch!
Don't shake the thing that has fangs in Kathy's throat, man.
No, not like a lot. Like just a, like, hey.
Ouch!
It's not like a dew claw.
Jesus.
Real ones, no.
Just like a little bit.
Jessa comes to and is able to start tearing off the scarecrows from herself. She has regained control.
She's dropping it.
I promise you that that's what she's doing. She's swiping that stuff off as fast as she can and growling at the whole time.
Oh my god.
She's gonna scrape it off and get the heck away from it. We don't need to do that again. She's gonna look back to where the rest of them are.
While you're doing that, I gotta butt in. Kathy's gonna realize now that CB is off, she's kind of starting to take this shit seriously and realizing that things are kind of dire and Norman's not doing too well. CB's just not here and we don't know what Jess is doing at the moment. So Kathy wants to try to raise her hand to make it like the little okay sign. So she can put her fingers in between her mouth and whistle.
Kathy is able to whistle. It's time for some special friends to come help.
I want my beautiful boys and girls. I need them.
You're going to fuss her or daw them?
Running up comes three unicorns. Pinky is in the front.
Party in the back.
Pinky shows up, alert and ready to help, followed by two more unicorns.
Okay, so Pinky's in the front.
On Pinky, on Brain.
They're all named after the Pac-Man ghost.
Close.
On Yakko, on Wacko, on Dot.
Hell yeah. Pinky's in the front. She's pink. We're going to have a little light blue one on the left-hand side. I'm going to name it Inky. We're going to have a light like lavender purple on the right. We're going to name it Tinky, based off of Tinky Winky, who is also Stinky. Purple. And that's what we're going to roll with for now.
These unicorns have shown up.
And they see you in distress, and you've established a rapport.
The thing about horses is that they will eat most things and damn the consequences, but the consequences are colic.
Valid. All right.
Yeah, horses and I have that in common.
I'm in distress.
Except for me, it's dairy.
The unicorn get to work and start eating all the hay off of Kathy.
Yeah.
At this point, is Norman still holding on to CB?
Yes. How is CB looking?
CB's eyes are still, like, very black, and they're kind of, like, very disoriented looking around because they were disrupted mid-feed.
I think I'm going to use some soothing methods that I've picked up in my line of social work.
And, oh my god.
Maybe, like, this is real. This is shit I learned working at a preschool. I think I'm going to, like, gently stroke the top of CB's nose and be like, hey, it's okay. It's okay.
Norman, what the fuck?
If it's stupid and it works, it's not stupid. No, try it. Try it on yourself right now. It just feels nice. Just like with one knuckle. Just gently stroke the top of your own nose. That's a nice thing. It's grounding.
CB starts purring.
CB is cat confirmed.
Oh. So Jess is headed back to the group, and there is a trio of unicorns who have appeared who are eating that straw off of Kathy.
Hell yeah.
While Norman is holding CB by the neck and stroking CB's nose.
Correct.
And CB is purring.
And CB is purring.
Welcome to the Parks and Rec group.
And Norman puts CB back on their feet and says, good vamp. And then he's like, oh my god. And like kind of realizes what he said and like hopes that CB was like still a little bit in a trance for that.
So Jessa will come back to the group and just sort of look around at everybody and go, I think maybe we should get out of the field, like get to the car and
yes, let's get to the car.
Maybe we ought to just, I mean, somebody has a ladder or something, right? Maybe we ought to just burn this down and try to keep it as under control as we can, or call somebody to come and wet down the rest of the, or I don't know that we need to let this stand the way things look right now, but I definitely don't think we should stay.
Yeah, let's move out, fellow associates.
CB is kind of like swaying on their feet a little bit, but they shake their head and they're kind of like, what's going on?
We were just going back to the office. Let's do that now.
We're going to the office?
Where the fuck did the horses come from?
Wild.
Well, where did you want to go?
Kathy wants to go home.
There is a car full of people who have been terrorized for weeks.
Oh, shit.
Is nobody going to explain the horses?
I can't explain the horses, CB. They just sort of turned around and there they were, and they're eating on Kathy, and I don't understand.
You've met the horses, CB. You know the horses.
Is all the hay gone? Are we saying that it's gone? We're good?
Yes. The unicorns have eaten all the hay.
Cool. Kathy's gonna kind of shake herself off, and she's gonna get on top of her beloved Pinky, and she's gonna say, to the office. And then she's gonna pass out because she's being a little woozy from the blood loss. As Pinky carries her to the office.
CB sees Kathy pass out and kind of like touches their mouth and is like, yeah, let's go.
God, and we still have to plan the festival. Did somebody close my garage?
Oh, hey, Norman. I thank you for your recap of the events leading up to CB biting Kathy. I appreciate your willingness to help clear up some questions for the town council.
It's the least I can do. Kathy will be all right. She comes from strong stock. She's a good kid.
Unfortunately, you know we can't let CB run around freely after this. You know that, right?
That's not fair. We didn't set them up for success. We could give them another chance. They just need a little extra accommodation, and it won't happen again.
If I could have talked to Vinny in time, maybe. But the town council knew the scarecrows would invade during the Harvest Festival. They were watching too closely.
So they knew we would have our hands full. Just a little leeway, just this once. This is maybe the farthest we've ever gotten.
We are still so early in this Reddington. The town needs you to be strong, Norman. And given what the three of you witnessed later that night...
Please don't, Wendy. This could be the one we save. This could be the time we get it right, but I can't learn from my mistakes if you don't let me remember making them. Please.
We have so much more to do here. I think it's only fair to provide you all peace of mind for now. We are going to need our strengths soon enough.
Please reconsider, Wendy. I'm begging you. We have to... We have to... I'm sorry, I totally lost my train of thought there. We have to make a point to do this again soon. We don't catch up often enough, you know? Thank you so much for lunch. This has been lovely. Next one's on me. I'll see you real soon.
Thank you for listening to Welcome to Reddington. Reddington's monsters are controlled by Meg Griffin. Episodes are edited by Alex Lavelle and produced by Algie Todd. A special thanks to Red Griffin for our character art and to Michael Sands and Evil Hat for the Monster of the Week gaming system used in this podcast. We will be back in 2 weeks. While Norman's interrogation has come to an end, we will still need to find out what happens at the end of Mystery 7. We know that money is tight, so if you are enjoying the show, we would appreciate it if you could leave us a rating or review wherever you listen to podcasts. Welcome to Reddington is created by Feathered Frequency Productions and is part of the Haunted Griffin Entertainment Network. Please check out our website for more of our shows. Today's episode starred
Newt Shottlecotty as C.B. Scottsdale,
Gina Morvek as Kathy Pines,
Theo Wampusik playing Norman Newman,
Sarah Palmero as Jessa June Greeley,